great service so far. Just to hear from you guys, what a blessing. Man, I had no idea with you saw us. Three generations getting up there singing. I expect a little bit from Ken and maybe, you know, from Walker, but man, no longer fear the beard, hear the beard. I just had to say that, but grateful to you guys, and man, I'm just grateful for the whole service. It means a lot to me to hear from you guys, whether it's through song or prayers or to hear your heart, and I think that means a lot to the people of God. So thank you for everybody, your participation always in our time before God, because He's the audience. He is the one that we are here to give the attention to, right? Well, we are continuing on in the book of Revelation. We're in chapter 14. Our text is verses 6 through 8 this morning. And we are catching a glimpse into the future. And this glimpse into the future reminds us of something that is critical in the present, the gospel. So stand with me as I read aloud Revelation 14, verses 6 through 8. Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. He said in a loud voice, "Fear God and give Him glory, because the hour of His judgment has come. Worship Him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water." A second angel followed him and said, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, which made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her adulteries." Let's pray. God, it is good, as always, to worship You. Father, I pray that You continue to bless through this service as we have been blessed. I pray that Your Word might be shared clearly, and that Your Spirit would guide as we continue turning to You, looking to You, Lord, worshiping You. Father, we need You. Speak to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. There is an angel that appears. And, you know, it's interesting. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, Paul is speaking and he says, if an angel comes to you and he speaks to you a gospel other than the gospel that I have preached to you, may he be accursed. Or in the NIV it says, may he be eternally condemned. It doesn't matter who the messenger is, how powerful the messenger appears to be, how glorious he may seem to us. It is the heart of the message that matters most. What is that message? It's interesting. There have been other religions from which angels gave them their foundation of belief. So it is in Islam, where the angel Gabriel appears to Muhammad and he gives him what becomes the Quran according to that tradition. And who is Jesus in Islam? He is one of six prophets. And of course, the last and one given the most attention is Muhammad. Jesus is merely a prophet. And he didn't die on a cross according to Islam. That was Judas, according to the teaching of Islam. But we know that although Jesus is a prophet, he is more than a prophet. And he is the one who died on the cross. And he is the one who is the foundation of the gospel. For without Jesus, there could be no ultimate good news. He is the source of that good news. In Mormonism, Joseph Smith, an angel, the angel Moroni, helped him translate from Egyptian hieroglyphics what would become the Book of Mormon according to that tradition. And I don't have time to go into all the beliefs of Mormonism, but the point is that the main focus is not about we are headed to hell and the way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ, the Savior, and in Him alone. But the idea is, man, you live a good life, you serve, you work, and when you die, you'll go to one of the three planets, and you're working toward yourself becoming a god. Hey, we will never become a god. We must crawl upon the mercy and depend upon the mercy of the real one true God who sent His one and only Son to die for us on a cross and be raised to life and be now on the throne. That's the gospel, and it's found in no one else except in our one true God. Now, in our text, we see this angel, he is flying in midair. In the Greek, it specifically is speaking about that point at noon, you know, midday when the sun is up there at its highest point. In other words, he is flying at a place where everybody can see him, can clearly see him. And notice about the message that is delivered. It says he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those on earth. This good news isn't just any good news. It isn't a temporary good news. This is the eternal news that lasts forever. It is the eternal news that always is the answer to the human heart's condition and problem and issue. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a gospel that those in the Old Testament longed to see come to pass in a Messiah that would appear. It is the gospel that is true when Jesus Himself came in the incarnation and He Himself died upon that cross, was raised to life, is at the right hand of the Father, and He is that same one, that same gospel upon we hope as we in these last days, in these last times, look for His return, which is so critical. Now, looking in our text here, I want you to notice as he proclaims this gospel, he makes mention here. He says in the next verse in a loud voice, "Fear God and give Him glory, because the hour of judgment has come. Worship Him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water." Now, this is in the middle of the tribulation. The one who is receiving the worship, the one who is receiving all the attention and the glory, is the Antichrist. And God sends His angel to give a clear message. And through that angel, He said, you are not to worship this one who proclaims to be the king. You must listen to the eternal gospel, the gospel that is found in My Son and in Him alone. And it's interesting here to me that the lack of worship here that there is attention brought to is creation. He says, worship Him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water. We're in a time where there are many in our churches who have moved away from the simple teaching of the Scriptures that God spoke and He created. That He is the one who made all that is around us. There's a teaching that has been moving along for years that is known as the theory of evolution, except in many of our institutions and even in many of our churches, it has become the fact of evolution. There seems to be no question. As a matter of fact, back in 2007, there was a day started called Evolution Day. And in over 12,000 churches and synagogues across the United States, this day of Evolution Day was the focus. And preachers would open their Bibles and they would speak about evolution and the importance of evolution and following the truth of evolution, and that science and the Bible, you know, can work hand in hand. But the problem is, if you look at the history of evolution, the real emphasis behind evolution is to explain how we all got here and how all the animals and all creation around us occurred without God. It is to take God out of the equation. If you look at Darwin and you look at those who follow, they want to explain everything without God. And the truth is, guys, life is precious, but it loses its meaning without God. When you take God out, there's nothing left worth having. It's interesting here, as I started looking through blogs, I found out in 2014, First Presbyterian Church in Elizabethan, Tennessee, right down the road, are one of the churches that honor this evolution day. And this is just a note from the pastor that was there in 2014. He said, "Next to Easter, Evolution Sunday is the biggest Sunday of the year in our congregation. People come to our church because of Evolution Sunday. People who have been alienated from church because of its negative attitudes toward evolution have found a home with us." Turn me to Romans chapter 1. It's an amazing section of Scripture that speaks about the end days. Starting Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 20. "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." In other words, when you look at what has been created around you, it yells God! And that He is the maker of all things, and that He is the creator of all things. You can't really explain all that is around us without God. Look at verse 21. "For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God, nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools." Look at verse 25. Drop down there. It says, "They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen." There is this worship of created things instead of Creator. Man, I don't know how all that, you know, the real thinking, I've never really understood in my studies and reading and listening to podcasts and everything, the exact chain of how mankind came to be. I mean, you know, you start out with a microorganism, and then you go to a bug, and then you go to a slug, and then I don't know where you go from there. I was thinking maybe a fish, and let me tell you why I was thinking maybe a fish. This tells my age a little bit. But when I was a kid, we didn't have cable, and we had three stations, Channel 9, Channel 13, and Channel 4. And sometimes, with the help of aluminum foil placed just right and turning and twisting, and with good weather, we could get Channel 9 and Channel 3, which were both out of Charlotte. But anyway, we didn't have a lot of choices like you have now with all the shows. And I remember when I was a little kid, I ran across this movie. I thought, this is an awesome movie. It's by a guy many in this area loves. The star of the movie was Don Knotts. Barney Fife, Nip It in the Bud guy, you know. He had more talents than just Barney. This movie, I don't know if any of you have ever saw it. It was called The Amazing Mr. Limpet. Just, yeah. Barney Fife, he turned into a fish. He turned into a fish. You know, I won't go into the whole long story, but I knew it was him because he had glasses on. Fish don't normally wear glasses. And there was a definite resemblance. Anyway, what a great movie. If you get a chance, check it out sometime. I'm sure I'll probably be disappointed too if I watch it again, because that's usually what happens with those old movies. You know, Richard Coffey, when he was here, he had a saying I've used many times. I don't know where he got it, but it says, "From the goo to the zoo to you." Now, I'm not here to get in a scientific debate. I'm just saying this is a theory. And because we walk by faith and not by sight, man, we don't have all the details and every specific answer to questions people have about God. I get it. But look, if it's by faith, I think I'll take my chances with God who created everything. Certainly make, okay, a couple of truths here I want to point out. First, the credibility of Jesus Christ requires creationism. The fact he made everything. In Mark chapter 10, verse 6, he tells us from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. He didn't just sit back and watch all this evolving, changing from different critters, and then somehow, wow, man, woman, there they are. You know, he says he made them male and female. He created them. It says in John chapter 1, verse 3, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Did you catch that? Nothing was made that has been made. He is the creator. Jesus himself created. Secondly, not only does the credibility of Jesus Christ require creationism, but the gospel of Christ is tied to creationism. Turn me to Acts chapter 14, verse 15. Acts 14, 15, in the midst of a message, it says, Barnabas and Paul heard this, tore their clothes, and then they said, men, why are you doing this? We too are only men, human like you. They said, don't worship us, guys. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. He said, guys, I know you have your own philosophies and your own ideas and where you spend your time and what you believe in, but they're all insignificant compared to the one who created everything, who made everything. And it is that God who loves you. It is that God who has sought you out. And so, man, just to put it into today's terms, we will not have, as long as I'm pastor, we will not have an evolution Sunday. Let me tell you something. We will always have a resurrection Sunday, which is coming up. Because, man, that's where the hope lies. Not in creation itself, but in the Creator who made it all. Now, thirdly, I got to move here. The future judgment of the world is coming at the hands of its Creator, God. Back to Revelation chapter 14, verse 7. It says, fear God and give Him glory because the hour of judgment has come. You see, at this point, the idea of God as Creator has been washed from the minds of the population. But they're still having to deal with a very other significant part of God. Not merely as Creator, but as the Judge. As the one who will bring judgment. The God who is revealed to us in Revelation. What will they do with this God? Still a question today. What will we do with this God? Now, the gospel of consummation, verse 8. A second angel followed and said, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, which made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her adulteries. It is interesting here, as you go back through the scriptures and you read about Babylon and the start of Babylon. It started with a great hunter described in Genesis chapter 11 by the name of Nimrod. And this great hunter, one of his main territories was Babylon. So then you go on to the next chapter, chapter 11. And it talks about all the people speaking in one language and moving together. And I want to read to you, this is verse 4 of Genesis 11. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so we may make a name for ourselves, Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. Did you catch those pronouns? He says, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to heaven so we may make a name for ourselves. And you know, God ended up stopping that tower being built to the sky, you know, become known as Babel, the Tower of Babel. It's interesting as you look at ancient Babylonia, they were the worshipers of the stars, astrology, zodiac, all of that. And so it's a fascinating point to realize of their false religion at Babel that history has come full circle. That those who worshipped the stars, this place of Babel, they would come back to Babylon once again as humanity is united once again to worship creation instead of to worship the Creator. He says there's a judgment that will become, and he says, even though it has not occurred yet, he speaks of it as it is sure to happen. You can count on it. He says, fallen. Fallen is Babylon the Great, which made all the nations drink the maddening wine of the adulteries. No matter which news we follow, except for the news of Jesus Christ, the rest of it, in today's terms, is fake news. It is news which will disappoint you. It is news which will let you down. It is news which is inadequate. It's news that brings regret, but there is a Savior who lights the way. As that angel appeared at the highest point to proclaim to a people who had completely turned their backs upon God and were headed toward God's judgment. You know, I think about that pause in between that first angel and the second angel. That first angel, before God declares the judgment that is about to come, He declares the gospel. Isn't that awesome about our God? You may think, well, you don't know me, preacher. We talked about in Sunday school about the guy on the gymnast coach and all the atrocities that occurred with all those girls and how he did not appear to really be repentant, and how one of those ladies now had said, I hope someday that you really understand I can't remember the exact words that were used, but basically the weight of what you have done and the pain that you have caused. Because until you understand the weight of that pain, until you come to grips with what your sin has done to hurt other people, until you come to grips with that, you are not ready to hear the real truth about forgiveness and about the gospel. And guys, it's still true today. Look, God loves us. He loves us with an everlasting love. But He's honest. There is no way into His presence apart from repentance and turning to Christ. You must come before Him and you must be willing to say, God, shine your light upon me so that I can see my true condition. And Father, enable me to let the weight of that help me see how desperately I need a Savior. How desperately I need the gospel. You see, it is at that point when the weight of that comes upon us where God says, I'm ready to free you through Jesus, my Son, the one who is the foundation of the eternal gospel. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. for your word. Lord, as we look at these future events that will occur, it strikes me that although people were hard-hearted, rebellious, wanted to wipe you from all civilization, wanted to leave you out of their lives in every way, that before you proclaimed judgment, you sent a messenger to proclaim the eternal gospel. And Father, this morning, that same gospel, Lord, needs to be proclaimed. And Father, may we respond to that gospel. However that gospel impacts our lives, whether it's for the first time to receive that forgiveness that you promised to us when we come honestly with the weight of our sin before you to be forgiven and to be assured of heaven, or whether it's to some of us who have been in the faith for a long time. But Father, we are broken and burdened, and there are things we can't seem to let go of or things we won't deal with. That gospel still holds to us that our lives must fall under the one who is the foundation of the gospel, Jesus Christ. I love that, Father, in Revelation 13, I think it's verse 7, where it talks about the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. That even before you made all things, God, the Lamb to be slain, that was in your heart, Lord. And I pray, Father, that we would not leave this place without listening to that gospel and responding as your Holy Spirit guides us. So, Father, lead us to an altar that's open. Lead us to do business with you in a time of response. As we sing, may we respond. May we do what you call us to do, whether it's to come before your people, or whether it's to pray at the altar, or whether it's to do business right where we sing and stand. May we just simply do business, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.